Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to episode 50 of Eurobash.
Jesus, I forgot.
50 of them. On the anniversary of Maymac, the greatest sporting spectacular of all time.
I was sweating, man. This time 2 years ago, I was in Las Vegas with 49 degree heat, pumping sweat.
I didn't bother my arse, but you know, you got to see history. There's no doubt about that in some way or shape or form.
Yeah.
But it's a big one. A lot happened this weekend. We had a furious Bellator card with 14 finishes and 14 fights. Fantastic stuff. We also had that big Conor McGregor exclusive with Ariel Helwani that has set the forum threads abuzz. Lots and lots going on, Noel. But before all that, let's take a look at the headlines.
This is me making up the music.
All right, here we go. Sergey Kharitonov stops Matt Mitrione in their Bellator 225 main event rematch. Very controversial there with Mitrione's mouthpiece. We'll talk about that a bit later on.
He's always mounting.
Some bookings for y'all. Molly McCann, who joins us this week, will take on Diana Belbita, and Darren Stewart will take on Darren Wynn on that Boston card on October 18th. Also announced this week, Stevie Ray v. Michael Johnson, Sergey Pavlovich v. Maurice Green, and Cyril Gane against Don Mays for Singapore on October 26th. That looks like a really good card. That's with Moya and Ben Askren at the top of that. We had teased it. It was teased by Bellator, of course, and we found out last week that it is former rugby international James Haskell who was signed on the dotted line for the promotion, and we have the best man in the world tell us about that. An Irish rugby legend himself, Niall McGrath, of course. Another booking here from Bellator. Bit confused about this one, and I have talked about this a number of times on the podcast. It's John Salter versus Koslo Van Steenis, and that's going to headline Bellator 233 on November 8th. My situation was there. Van Steenis fought Shipman. Fabian Edwards fought on the same card. The winners should have fought off against each other. It should have had the public absolutely buzzing for it, but unfortunately, the feed went dead in our neck of the woods for those two fights, so no excitement built. I think they're missing a beat by not putting Van Steenis against Fabian, but who am I to say? Also, Mason Jones, his opponent, has been announced for that Cardiff show, 108. He's going to be taking on Alexi Montekivi, who I believe is the last man to beat Soren Back. So that's a very interesting one there for the lightweight division.
Long back.
Exactly. And finally, a huge fight this. And I was really blown away by the reaction to this. Dean Truman v. Morgan Charrier will take on each other at the Birmingham show at 109. Boom. But man, Charrier's fan base is mental. Did you see the amount of traction that got? It was like, I'm still getting notifications in French. Yeah. I have no idea what the people are saying. Like, I think it had like over 1,000 interactions, like from the Twitter post that the K-Tories put out.
It's definitely
French is buzzing now, isn't it?
It's buzzing, man. It's for people don't understand the size. Obviously, you know, France is like Paris alone, man, is a massive city, and the amount of nationalities there as well, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a hotbed, and I think I'm really just looking forward to seeing what happens there when the UFC go there, especially. It's going to be class.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic. I must admit that. Now, let's get on to our talking points for this weekend. The McGregor interview. Huge, obviously, big interview. Probably one of the most prominent places an MMA segment has ever been. A whole sports center dedicated to one interview, of course, with the most polarizing figure in our sport, Conor McGregor. There has been lots of reaction to this. But I guess, how did you feel about it? You watched it, I watched it.
Yeah, I stayed up live to watch it. I won't tell you where I watched it. All right, it doesn't matter.
moving on.
But yeah, it was very interesting. I think I tweeted that I felt, you know, looking at McGregor, that he seemed a little bit confused, a little bit all over the place. But
I agree.
It was hard to judge, really. I felt, you know, was he sincere? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he seems to be calling out everyone in that interview, which I found pretty bizarre as well. Frankie Edgar was prominently mentioned as well. Frankie's come out and obviously had a few words to say on Instagram. Well, probably Ali, but it was very interesting, Petey, and I felt very confused watching it. I thought he was just all over the shop, but he actually looked healthy, looked better.
I thought he looked worn down. I feel like...
Maybe a lot of pressure, though.
I agree. I agree with everything you're saying, but I have never seen him like that before. I know Conor 10 years. I've never seen him that worried, I'd say. Kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'd agree. But another thing I would say, on top of what you're saying there, is you found it hard to really believe anything he was saying, and in past years we would have... eating that shit up.
Everybody would have. The whole fan base. We've seen this for a long time because we're in Ireland. We've seen the fan base slowly turning, but he's nearly completely backed up against the wall at this stage. I don't see anybody supporting him. You know, he seemed a bit all over the place. And
well, you know yourself.
As you're saying, he's saying the right things, but the only way to actually prove it is to do things. You know, like, you can say all the right stuff.
Say all you want.
But until you have a clean run of a year without any of these controversies going down, it's going to be very hard to take his word seriously. Like, I mean, what I noticed was a huge criticism of his Khabib camp. A massive criticism.
Huge.
But with everything he said, right? He would say something and then slightly retract it. Like, he was...
There was no definite statement.
Like, I mean... He started off and he was talking about, you know, how it hurt him to see the footage of the alleged incident in the pub. Yeah. And then Ariel says to him, so you're admitting it, do you admit that you hit that man? And he's, it's a bit hazy. And I'm sure that's a legal situation or something like that. But with the John Kavanagh situation...
That was the most interesting thing for me.
Yeah, he kept on saying, like, it was a half a camp. He had a broken foot. He wasn't happy with John saying he hadn't watched the fight. He had already watched it thousands of times.
And then says later on in the interview,
I need to rekindle my relationship with John Kavanagh. It's very confusing.
Yeah, you know, I think that's where Conor's at the moment. I think he is confused himself. Yeah. And that was the words I would have taken away. If you're asking me to sum up the interview, I would have said confusion. A confused Conor McGregor.
But also, like, I mean, if his foot was broken and John Kavanagh's the head coach, how is he sending him out?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is he in a situation now where if Conor says he's doing it, he has to go with it? Like, I mean, and is that a healthy situation?
You know, I've said this before, right? I don't see the issue if Conor, you know, went off to the States and did a fight camp. You know, we see it a lot, and I got a little bit of criticism on Twitter. I put it out during the week there after the interview that, you know, sometimes a fresh start is the best thing that will ever happen to a fighter. You know, sometimes it's not. But we're at the point now where I think...
You need to try something.
You need to try something, because obviously last time it didn't work. You know, Conor seemed, from what he said in that interview as well, that there was a lot, you know, he felt very frustrated with, obviously, with the fight camp. So, you know, if this is happening, if there's these issues in the fight camp, do something else. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just have to go back on your word. Sometimes say, I'll never leave, you know, SBG.
And a fresh set of eyes on you.
It's, you know, it completely rejuvenate. Look, for instance, a guy who's fighting in 2 weeks' time, Paul Felder.
Yeah.
You know, went to Ruva Sports, you know, looked fantastic. Numerous fighters, obviously some guys it doesn't work out for, but we're at a point now with Conor McGregor, it's shit or get off the pot, and it is last chance saloon. You know, if he loses his next fight, as you said, to me off air last week.
I said it, I tweeted it, like, you know, like people were jumping down my neck because I compared it to Woods and Fury. I'm not comparing their situations. What I'm saying is, sport, when you win, you get people back on side.
People love you when you're winning.
It's a winner's game.
Yeah.
You know, and to be honest, you know, people were kind of saying, and fair play, like, I mean, I didn't mean this when I was saying it, but people are pointing out, of course, that Tyson Fury, which I've talked about a lot in this podcast, about becoming an advocate for mental health and saying, like, this is completely different. Have you been watching Conor for the last 2 years? Are you trying to tell me that you don't believe a slight bit of mental situation is going on here? Like, it's completely erratic behavior.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, this is the first step on a long road back, as far as I'm concerned. And people that are saying it's a PR thing, every interview is PR.
Every
it's public
interview.
Relations. Yeah. It's them getting their word out to you. So every interview of all time has been PR. I don't know if that's a shocking revelation.
I don't know where that came from. The other day. I was like, holy shit. Like, what do you think their agent is employed for?
Yeah, it's
like, do you know what I mean? We deal with these guys.
Some of the reactions
because they
want to
get a message
base,
out there. Just crazy stuff. But yeah, listen, it is shit or get off the pot, as you said there. And I think the next step for him,
it's not blowing over.
Yeah. And listen, I don't know if he's going to get in there before the end of the year as well. I think by listening to him at the interview the other night, there seems to be a lot of things that are unresolved that should be literally resolved fucking 8 months ago. This time last year, nearly. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when was the fight? October, was it? Okay. So maybe, you know, before Christmas, they should have sat down and ironed this all out. And, you know.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a longer time. Yeah, I think we can see 2020 easily.
I do. And I think the opponent is going to be very important because, as you said, once those eyes come off you, which they have quite considerably over the last number of months. And listen, you know, living here, and I don't think anyone really, you know, all the journalists can talk what they want in the world that are living in the US. In terms of Conor here, it's a, like, you know, obviously the States is a lot
bigger.
It's
the worst it's ever been.
It's the worst it's ever been, hands down. I said that on the radio the other day when I was on, I was chatting about it. You know, anyone who talks here brings up McGregor, you know, to me or you especially, because we're involved in this game for so long that, you know, it's always negative these days. There's nothing ever thrown to you that's positive about Conor McGregor. Very, very rarely.
But, I will say, and something, a point that I've always made about Conor is, like, at a certain time, he could only go down. He was being held up as this St. Patrick. Like, he was the patron saint of Ireland.
It was a bit silly.
You can only go down. Of course it was. But you can only plummet after that. There is no, like, when you've taken on a mythological stance.
But the fall has been so drastic in the last
crazy.
Year.
Crazy. It's been, look, when we don't even recognize the guy that we see in some of these clips that are coming out. Like, I mean, it's not great, and it's not great for the sport in Ireland.
It's not great for the sport
at all.
It's not
great for sport in Europe, or in general, But one thing I also, is just his revision of what happened in the Khabib fight. Like, you know, it's the anniversary, it's the 2 year anniversary of Maymac. And all the way through that build up to that fight, he was talking about if this was a full fight and not just the hands. And then he's given out because Khabib, noted for his wrestling skills, is taking him down. I mean, which one is it?
Yeah, well, you know.
Is that not a full fight?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I don't know where he's getting that from. It's bizarre.
I just hope, like, I mean.
You know. Look at the tactics of that fight. Weird. Very strange.
Well,
throwing leg kicks and kicks in the, against a guy who's going to put you on your ass in the first round. Odd stuff, in my opinion. But, you know, in terms of opponents, you know, the names have been thrown out there.
I don't even think we're close to thinking about opponents.
I don't think we are, but is he setting something up there? But what he's saying, I think that was another interesting thing to
take
away.
Well, which of the eight people do you think he's going to fight that he mentions?
Well, and this is no disrespect to Frankie, but, you know, Frankie, a smaller guy, you know, they were obviously supposed to throw down before. It was rumoured after the Mendes fight when Frankie was up by the cage and all that, never materialised. Well, listen, Frankie's a very different fighter. He's not near as good a fighter as he was back then, whatever that was, 4 years ago.
Is Conor anywhere near?
No, he's not. No, well, not from what we saw against Khabib. So, you know, maybe he's pitching for something that might put him over. So.
And that's exactly what he said in Frankie. He was like, he fights similar to Khabib. That's what he said to Ariel. But a wild situation. And, you know, it's not going away. He needs to start seriously making amends here. Like, I mean, I've never seen such a backlash.
I think it's going to be very tough in Ireland. To get. I don't think he will win back the fans in this country.
Well, definitely not to where they were. Yeah. That was never going to be recovered.
Yeah.
But Roy, I think we've talked that the wheels off that. Have we? Do you have any more points to make?
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's just I would like to see something different. That's something I've taken away, and there seems to be a little bit of resentment as well. You know, confusion and resentment. I think we're trying to figure out what he was actually saying there. But if you're still going on about that 8 months later about your coach not watching back the fight,
he was asked about it though.
Yeah, I know. But, like, you know, he's changing his mind 2 minutes later. Listen, I wouldn't mind seeing him getting out of the country and doing something and starting fresh just to see if it can rejuvenate the guy.
Yeah. I agree. Now we're gonna have to put you back in the spot to talk about James Haskell. Mixed reaction to this. I talked to a lot of fighters who are saying, like, you know, fighters who have been lifelong fighters saying, like, this And it's not the first time it's happened. CM Punk, Greg Hardy, all these guys, Jack Swagger, of course. You know, they think it cheapens the sport to just see an athlete from a different sport come in. Like, I saw Paddy Hoolan conversing with Kyle Pendred in your thread.
Yeah.
You were kind of talking to Kyle about it, and Kyle had great, you know, things to say about James. And then I saw Paddy, and it is a point. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
Alan Philpott was in there as well.
Yeah, but who's to say, like, one of these lads can't run out on the pitch for Ireland? Like, what, the rugby community would be lambast MMA fighters if that was the case, you know?
I get that point, but, you know, in terms of promotion and things like that, Bellator need talking points.
Listen. Sky Sports especially, Channel 5 especially.
Exactly, and I think the link you have with James Haskell is he's worked on Sky quite a lot in the past, being, you know, a pundit. He's obviously 77 caps for England.
Sent me a good video of him there.
I did, drunk after beating South Africa a number of years ago. Listen, the guy is a talking point, and we said this last week on the show that we were concerned that Bellator don't have many promotional tools at the moment or anything that's pulling them in to get eyes on them. And listen, this guy, for example, compared to a lot of other sort of guys that have walked in or come into the sport, there seems to be a real sort of logic or thought behind it for the last number of years, not just now. Like, he's been training 5 or 6 years, mate. And I think it's a little bit different towards other guys. But I understand the frustrations from guys like Alan Philpott. And, you know, Alan's had a hard road. He's been all over, you know, shows all over around the world. And, yeah, it is frustrating for these guys. But at the end of the day, if there's no eyes on the sport, how are these promotions going to succeed on, you know, mainstream television? And I think you have to understand as well that you need guys like this to put eyes on the sport, to pay your wages and for you to get exposure. You know, ultimately, you should be accepting it and embracing it, really, because mixed martial arts is generally had sort of elements like that since the foundation of the sport.
But if people are tuning in to MMA for the first time ever and they tune into a Bellator card and it's James Haskell and it's Aaron Chalmers, people who don't have the same level of MMA that should be reflected at the pinnacle of the sport, which is Bellator, is that not a bad look for MMA when it's like, you know, and look, Aaron has won me over. He has continued to fight. He's continued down this road.
Yeah, he's impressed me. I slated him at the start, and I've definitely done a U-turn.
I told him in the interview myself, look, I gave you a hard time. Yeah. But is that not a bad thing for European audience to be seeing? Like, they're getting familiar with Bellator for the first time ever. Yes, they're tuning in to see James Haskell, the former international rugby player. Is it not a bad thing for them to tune in and see low-level MMA and possibly Haskell fighting, you know, a can? For want of a better word.
Yeah, it is to a certain extent, but
The positives outweigh the negatives.
I think it's a little bit of both, really. I think you have to have guys like this in order to get a larger audience sometimes on it. And Bellator, as we've criticised them for, they haven't done a great job with getting this European market to where it should be. And I think this could be a desperation tactic maybe to get James Haskell on board. And yeah, listen, someone could tune in and James could surprise us and he might be bloody good. He might go in and knock someone out. And then they might stick around and watch the other fights. You know, it's risk and reward. It depends what way you look at it. But, you know, I think it's a good thing. I'm not too disconcerned about that, but very much looking forward to it. It's going to be something interesting we can look forward in the future.
Right, we spoke about it at the top of the show. It would be good for you to call in a word with your good friend Mark Henry, who is, of course, the coach of Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, Mark's going to join us in a few minutes to talk about, obviously, the rumours that are going around. And Frankie's come out and spoke this evening, so we'll get Mark's view on him.
Absolutely. We will see you very, very soon. Thank you very much.
It's been a while, and it's actually his first time on this show, on the new Eurobash show on MMAfighting.com. Well, it's not new, we're 50 episodes in. A good old friend of mine, and he's just turned 21 this weekend. It is Coach Mark Henry. Mark, how are you, my friend? Great to speak to you. Happy belated birthday.
Thanks so much, my friend. Like I said, I don't know how you found out my age, but you must ask somebody close to me. Frankie must have told you my age.
what is the real age? Go on, tell me. Let our listeners know, Mark.
21.
21,
it is. 30. You're off by 10 years. It's 31.
Some good celebrations. You just tell me there off air that you're extending the restaurant, Pino's Pizza.
Yeah, we're bought a place close to a place that I've been for 24 years, building we bought, and, real excited about that. We should be open in November, so. you know, it's going to be like 3-4 times bigger. So I'm real excited.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. I haven't, I still haven't got over to try out the legendary pizza. So I'm going to have to get over, hopefully the MSG card, and I might pop out to New Jersey and grab a slice.
There you go. I'm going to be having people, so I'll be busy, but you can head over on your own.
Brilliant stuff. All right, Mark, I wanted to get you on, obviously, to talk about Conor McGregor's interview last week with Ariel Helwani on ESPN. And he mentioned Frankie Edgar. He said that's a fight that very much is interests him on his return. First of all, I want to get your thoughts on what Conor McGregor said in that interview.
I don't know what people's opinions are, but I thought he was pretty genuine. And I think now with age, he's a little older, and he's now 5'2". I really think he's going to turn things around. I pray he is. For him. I know there's a lot of good he does that people don't know. I know you think he's done that. He keeps quiet about the amazing things he's done. So, I'm excited for him. I think he's really going to turn the corner here, and I think he's going to do right. It's tough to, judge him, the start of that he had. If you would have told me he was fighting Cyber, that he's going to fight Mayweather one day.
Yeah,
I would have honestly thought I'd see a pig fly before, I would see him, and I'm serious, I'm not joking. So, what he's accomplished and what he goes through every day, the camera's 1 inch from his face, that can't be easy, and never having privacy, wherever he goes. So, I've never been through that, and less than 1% of the world has, it's hard to judge him for that, but. I realize he's done a lot of good. The things that he's done too. You have to think he's a fighter. A guy that went to Harvard. And then was the CEO. He's a fighter. He grew up being a fighter. He grew up, with small means, and it's a different mindset. I think. What he's done, he'll recover from fine.
Well, obviously the incident came out, Mark, with him hitting the customer in that pub here in Dublin. What was your thoughts on that incident?
Yeah, I think it's wrong. I think it's not cool at all. You hit someone that's defenseless and not ready. But I'm kind of throwing it under what I said, man.
Yeah.
He just got a lot going on in his life, and it's definitely a big mistake, but thank God the guy didn't get hurt. Like you said, it's 100% wrong. And the guy just there enjoyed his time.
Yeah.
And
if the boot was on the other foot and it was one of your fighters that got in an incident like that, how would you reprimand your fighter?
I've been blessed. We kind of can choose the guys that we've had. We've had other people in our gym too that we said no to him, and we kind of hit people that most people, most of our fighters are all family people. They all have kids.
Yeah.
They all even like Frankie first started, people would egg on or people would say stuff to him, even fighters. And he'd be mad, but oh, just ignore it. I'm like, you make them more mad if you ignore it. That you don't even think 2 seconds of them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, how we say. The only thing in the interview, the excuses with when he loses, the excuses. Come on, man. Khabib, that's why I love my fighters, Marlon and Frankie, Eddie, all the fighters I had, the girls, and Corey. They never make excuses, They lose, they give 100% congratulations to the opponent, and that's it. Frankie, I have documentary stuff for being hurt too badly. Who didn't say anything, especially Frankie. Frankie's never made an excuse in his life. So besides that, I really believe the things that he said. I think he's going to turn it around. And there's so many things to love about him.
Yeah.
What he says, how he loves fighting and talking about why do you eat. Those things really, as a fan or as a person, the guy really loves sport. And to hear some of his answers, I was really blown away by his answers. Why do you tweet? Because I love it. I'm watching from the prelims to whatever. I think that's amazing. Especially a guy, Connor Stavis, you know. And, you know, I believe what he says.
What did you think about it? What did you think about his comments towards Frankie then? He sort of implied in that interview that, in so many words, that he thinks Frankie would be a good sort of warm-up for a rematch with Habib. Was that a little bit disrespectful to Frankie because Frankie's a former UFC lightweight champion?
He didn't want to fight Frankie before. He had many opportunities too. I think he didn't want to fight him. Like, you know, he had several chances. He had Mendez when he knew that Mendez wasn't in a camp and that he was filming a hunting show and that he hadn't trained in a long time. And he knew that Frankie does train all year round and this is his perfect timing to fight Frankie. Mendez just lost a fight before to Aldo. So Frankie in that week too, that week, Frankie was picked ahead of Chad too. And they switched him fast after Chad got the fight. The week that Chad did get the fight, Frankie was ranked ahead of him. So he was ranked ahead of him. He had more wins than him. At that time, Chad just lost, you know, I think two fights prior to the title fight. He had him training. Then he had the opportunity to fight Frankie again. He turned it down. And then he made a statement and said, then when Frankie and Chad did fight, without Frankie and Chad for each other, I remember him saying that Frankie's going to lose. And then if Frankie does win, that he would fight him. He beat Aldo, which that happened too. And then he didn't fight Frankie again that time. So, you know, there's been a ton of excuses. But, yeah, I think all in all, he's pretty much, when he's bashed a lot of other people, he's been pretty respectful to Frankie. And Frankie's been pretty respectful to him.
Have you spoken to Frankie about the potential of this fight? Because obviously, I saw the tweet there and the Instagram post that Frankie said, you know, he's willing to put his 135-pound division move on hold to fight Conor McGregor. What have your conversations been like with Frankie, and what has Frankie said?
No, Frankie would love to fight him. He always wanted to fight him. I mean, Frankie always wants to fight the best guys. I mean, that's not unlike him, you know? And, yeah, I think Conor's that way too. You know, I know Conor didn't fight Frankie, but Conor's one of the only guys he takes fights on last second. He's not afraid of anything. He felt injured. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. So many guys, you know, they don't want to fight when it gets hurt. I mean, look at Frankie. Yeah. Frankie's supposed to fight Max. He gets hurt. And he takes Ortega in 2 seconds. You know? And that's, I believe, that Conor is, you know, Conor's just the guy that loves to fight. So I think, you know, they're perfect for each other. Two guys that love to fight, and
You have spoken in the past, and you think it's been along the sort of lines that you think maybe Frankie's Conor's kryptonite. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah, I always thought it was, you know, and I still think it is today. I think Frankie definitely do want him. Not that he'll roll him over or anything, you know, kind of thing. I think it'd be a great fight.
What's your relationship now like? I know that you had a bit of a frosty relationship with the guys in SBG with John Kavanagh. Is that something you'd like to rekindle again, test your sort of wills against a guy like John?
No, honestly, I didn't even see the guy. You know, we're busy. I don't even see him. And I don't see him, and I really don't think about it until you just brought it up. First time I thought about him in a long, long time.
Would you like to go up against John again? And I want to get your thoughts on what Conor said about maybe...
Thanks, I'll pass on it.
No?
Pass on John, whatever. No, thank you.
What did you think of that? That was an interesting point.
I want to concentrate on my thoughts. I
thought that was an interesting point of the interview as well, Mark, that you know, Conor sort of said he hadn't really spoken with John since the fight... You know, how would you perceive that as a coach when your fighter is sort of saying things like that, that he hadn't watched back the video and things like that? What would your thoughts be on what Conor sort of said about the relationship between himself and his coach?
I don't know. I just, you don't really know. It's not fair. Someone might be a judge on the outside. I wasn't there and involved in every camp. It's so different. And I know Conor is being pulled from many directions. You know, he could be hard to get in touch with. So it could be hard for Kavanagh even set up, you know, scheduling that even, you know, a regular fighter does. I'm sure, you know, there's two stories to everything. I'm sure John Kavanagh has, you know, some things about that he tried to maybe it's tough because Conor's popular and being pulled from a million directions. So, you know, I'm sure there were things also.
Yeah. Fair enough. Has there been any talks with the promotion? Have they reached out about the potential of this fight happening? And, you know, I think Madison Square Garden, if this fight was to go ahead and happen, would be an ideal place.
It'd be perfect. You know, I know Conor loves New York. I know he loves to fight there. Frankie's loves to fight there. So it'd be perfect for both.
Have the UFC reached out to you guys?
I mean, you make it happen right now. You'll sign for Conor and I'll sign for Frankie.
Have the UFC been in touch about any of that potential, or is it too early at this stage?
Don't worry about them. Let's just worry about me and you signing it. Draft something.
We'll have it. It'd be a great fight, I think. I'd love to see it. I think it would be one for the fans. I think it's long overdue, Mark, as we've said many a time about Frankie and Conor's fighting styles. I think it'd be a fantastic match for the fans and media and everyone around the world to see. All right, Mark, just before we let it go, you know, do you honestly think we're going to see Conor McGregor and Frankie Edgar by the end of the year?
Like I said, it's like you send over the document, I'll sign, you sign. It's happening.
Perfect.
It's happening. You and I said.
We've said this for years, Mark.
We've been talking about it for a long. You know, I think it's like one of those fights, too, that you talk about it so long, you know, that it should happen. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what should definitely happen or to be always questioned.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, man.
I like Conor saying it. I know a lot of people question him, you know, especially when he had to pick between Mendez and Frankie.
Yeah.
And he knew that Mendez had him in training for a while.
Yeah.
If Mendez was training, it would have been bad for him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's a fight we should have seen, you know, definitely happen a long, long time ago. It was a shame, so I'd love to see it happen now. Just a couple more, Mark. What weight class does this fight have to happen at? Do you still think Conor's going to be able to get down to 45? And would that be the ideal weight class for you guys?
Yeah, I think 45 would be great. You know, even 50, 45, like that. You know, nothing, you know, that's cool. But, you know, I think Conor is a professional, man. I mean, guy, and you look at him, too, when he cuts weight. I mean, I remember his last weight cut with Aldo, but I mean, he is a true professional, man. And guys never missed a weight. You got to give him credit.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things I may have in the past, man. He's an amazing fighter, and what he's done, unimaginable. And you know, I think there's Ali, and I think there's him, and nobody's ever going to be like Conor again. And the thing that he's accomplished, and you know, it's almost a miracle. You know, and I really, really hope that it sounds. I mean, he sounds like a different dude to me. I really believe he is. He's a dad with two kids now.
Yeah.
It's tough, man, when you're that young. It's really tough when you're that young. Not only tough when you're that young, but you come from a fighting background. You know, so I think he's definitely going to turn around. It's not like I thought what he did the last time was so great, but it's not like you know, everything he's done has been in that fighting realm. You know, that fighting mindset, whether good or bad. He hasn't done, like, you know, something that is totally horrific.
Definitely.
You know, I want the best of his family. I believe he's going to kill it now, you know, and everything he does.
Yeah. Hopefully you can turn things around. And listen, I think we've both said it for long enough. I think this fight's long overdue. And listen, Mark, enjoy this birthday celebrations. It's always a pleasure to catch up with my friends. I hope you're keeping well. And I do appreciate you coming on and taking the time out for me again today.
You got it, brother. Awesome talking to you again, buddy.
Beautiful conversation there between Niall McGrath and Mark Henry, two of my favourite people in the whole world. Interesting stuff there, for sure. But let's take a look at what happened last weekend at Bellator 225. What are you laughing for, Niall?
I'm not laughing at nothing, Pete.
I'm deadly serious.
I'm starving. I'm hungry. I'll eat a horse right now. Swear to God.
You'd eat a horse's arse through a tennis racket.
There you go.
But, right, Sergei Karatanov and Matt Mitrione. Very interesting for Matt Mitrione. He comes out and says, it was nothing to do with my mouthpiece, and then describes why it was probably something to do with his mouthpiece.
Matt's one of these guys. He always makes excuses. He just loves making excuses.
But, I mean, it was blatantly affecting him. The mouthpiece came out five, six times. Probably four. But, you know, and then just before the finishing sequence, the mouthpiece hits the ground. The referee goes off after the mouthpiece looking for it, and he eats that uppercut, and it's game over. That's going to be a tough one for Mitrione to take, but serious finish from Karatanov. Like, a dangerous European man, as we all are.
Savage.
Vitaly Minnikov really impressed me in the co-main event. He had that late notice change of opponent. Timothy Johnson, who we know has the best hash in the game.
Big time.
Minnikov manhandled him and then just finished him. Beautiful shots against the fence there to finish that up. Asimov against David Rickles. He looked tremendous. That's 22-0 now for the Ukrainian.
Is that 22-0? Holy mother of God.
That is a serious, serious record. And Rickles has had more fights in Bellator than anyone. Yeah. So, I mean, fair play to him. Did you see Nick Newell's finish of Corey Browning?
Yeah, it was savage.
That was really impressive,
savage.
Wasn't it?
Savage. What a guy. And he's not even guaranteed that he's going to be back with Bellator. It's only a one fight deal. They're going to have to get him back on shortly.
They definitely have to sign him on. They definitely have to sign him after that. Moving down to the rest of the card, Ricky Bandejas got back to winning ways. Roy Hook finish of Ahmet Karetli. Austin Vanderford, Mr. Van Zandt, got off to a good start.
I think that's going to stick with him after Ariel's interview today.
Yeah. Back in your box, son.
Yeah, big time.
But Austin Vanderford obviously going up to middleweight this time and got the second round finish via doctor's stoppage due to a cut. And did you see Salib Hamasi's heel hook finish? It was like 11 seconds. 17 seconds.
Was it 11?
It's Tapology are telling me 17.
Right. Okay.
But look at young Peter Carroll there. Just ran across.
It was. I was gonna tweet out. Did he get it from this flying seal jiu-jitsu?
I'm actually known as the cobbler when I'm working the legs. I'll size you up for a pair of shoes, handy. But yeah, it was
unreal. I'm watching it here again on Twitter.
Just flew across the ring. Let me have a look at that shoe, mate.
It's unreal, unbelievable.
But I mean, that was that's a really good card for Bellator at a weekend where there's no UFC
It's a record, isn't it? 14 is it a
Kaposa's
record?
Saying like he doesn't think it, like Kaposa watches a fierce amount of MMA, man. So he's gonna look. I'm pretty sure ACB had a few cards like this.
Well, ACB had about 600 fights probably on the card. So like some of their cards are deep, man.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. A very, very good card. I don't know if Ryan Bader will be jumping up and down at the thoughts of Karatanov, but like, what do you think of? I was only thinking about this today, right? September 14th is that KSW card. If Phil DeFries gets rid of Grabowski, he's effectively cleared out that division. Why not do heavyweight KS? Because they've been flirting with that idea for a while, KSW and Bellator. What about Phil DeFries versus Ryan Bader?
Be savage.
Like, I think that's a serious fight. Like,
yeah, I really would like it.
Phil looks a different guy with KSW.
You just don't know what Bellator's plans are. That's, you know, it really is as simple as that. And we talked, obviously, last week about the Haraguchi situation and the way the belt mess up there. It sort of devalues their titles a bit. So if they're not willing to really make a commitment with these promotions and do something, you know, not just for one you know, fight card, for a number of fight cards, it's probably pretty pointless doing it.
Yeah, but it did stimulate a lot of interest, that Rising crossover.
No, I totally agree with that.
But you just want a continuance.
You need a continuance. You need to know where this is at, if it's going to continue or not. There's no use sort of doing it for a once-off. It's, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, do two or three of them. Do a series.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, if they did it with KSW, I think it would be a huge thing in terms of marketing in Eastern Europe too.
Well, I think KSW jump on that as well, because
they need it wings in here. Like, they need to spread in here. So
they're going to do a card in the US in 2020.
They did say that, yeah.
As far as what Martin Lewandowski was saying. So, you know, it makes sense for them. I don't understand why it wouldn't make sense for Scott Coker and those guys. And, you know, they could even do something in Europe.
Yeah.
Why not? KSW versus Bellator in Europe would be amazing.
It would, actually. A whole card.
Yeah.
They weren't going to do champion v champion, I wouldn't say, but that would be fucking unbelievable if they did
be
that.
Savage. Or even, you know, put the KSW belts on the line against, you know, David Big Show coming up and maybe do it after that. I just think something like that would be really cool.
It would. Get Roberto Saldich in the mix over there. That would be fucking mental.
Definitely.
We'll move on to our second interview of the day. It's Miss Molly McCann, a fan favourite on Eurobash. She brought the heat as usual. Yeah, oh, man, I love her dog. Have you seen her dog?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Beautiful little French bulldog, man. You know, I'm a bit dog obsessed at the moment.
She was in Mallorca. I'm going to Mallorca in a few weeks.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
You were telling me.
I texted you that the other day.
We're going to have to record earlier at the end of September, but you don't have to worry about
that. We'll sort
it out. Yeah. So we'll be back in about 15. Great chatting to Molly, as always, the fighting pride of Liverpool. And now we are finally rejoined by the fighting pride of Liverpool, Miss Molly McCann, who takes on Diana Belbita on October 18th in Boston. Molly, before we go anywhere near that fight, please tell me everything about your new dog, because he is absolutely beautiful. That French bulldog is gorgeous.
Right, so when I won in, where was it, in Greenville? Sorry about that train, guys.
No hassle.
Sorry. I won a fight and I came home and I just felt like there was something missing. And then me mum got a chihuahua called Elvis. And then I just said to, I live with my nan's own, I was just like, oh, nan, I think we need a dog. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. So one of my mates, Tabby, is like a French bulldog breeder. And I was literally, I was in Ireland, I think it was like 2.5 weeks ago, and I was training in Dublin. And I just seen there was four puppies, and I just went, I want that one. And then that was it. Frank
is a great name. Oh, my God, that's brilliant.
And do you know what? Do you know, he's got little scouse brows as well, his eyebrows. He's got little blondies. So I just, it was a match made in heaven, really, mate. And do you know, all I do is go to the gym, either comes with me or me nana look after him, come home, have a rest, watch fighting, go back to the gym, come home, give him a walk, watch fighting. So my life is literally just complete. And I really understand why people like go to shit when it comes to dogs.
Yeah,
like,
I'm one of them people as well. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've got a cockapoo. He is a very emotional dog. Yeah. But I love him to bits. But I got to ask you, right? What I was going to say was, like, I was just looking at your career trajectory in 2019, and I was thinking about the first time you were on this podcast, and it was after your first loss in the UFC. And look at what has happened since. I mean, that last win over Arian Lipski is absolutely unbelievable. That is a European title fight, as far as I'm concerned, given your Cage Warriors lineage and her KSW lineage.
But yeah,
it's amazing, you know, right? It's what a turnaround this has been.
So, me as a human being, I am happy, I am so positive, and I just live for each day, love each day, and I'm thankful for each day. And when we first spoke, you could tell like the grey cloud that was over me, and I just wasn't happy and settled within myself because of where my career was. So like, what you do, would you sit there in a rut and just allow every day to pass you by without trying to better yourself? Or do you fucking go and grab it by the balls and go and get it? And the loss was my fault. It was me. The last few wins has been my best friends, my coaches, my family, my partner. Everyone has pushed me through. And ultimately, it's me who's getting in their training. And ultimately, it's me who's in the cage, who's winning. But all these people have given me so much positivity. And you just can't keep a good person down. And I am so thankful and lucky to be doing what I'm doing. Honestly, I was in Santorini last week for my two best friends' wedding. And there's 46 of us. And every single fucking day, I just realised, oh my God, how lucky am I in my life? And then I said to the girls, when I was on the Hindu, we was in Budapest, and I was like, oh, girls, I think I'm going to get a fight. And then the Lipski call came. And then I was literally in this villa on a cliff top, sitting on a infinity pool with my mates. And it was the day before the wedding. So we're all talking about our pits and falls, like what's the best part of the week so far and what's the worst part. And then I just get a text off Graham Boylan going, yo, 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 meatball. And I literally just went, girls, take the phone and just fucking tell me where it is. And they went, I said I wanted to fight in Madison Square Garden, but I also said, if it's not MSG, just give me Boston. Just give me Boston. And they give me Boston. So I'm like, I'm like a kid at Christmas eating cake every day. Like, oh.
You'll love Boston as well. The TD Garden's an amazing arena as well.
Oh, you know, my God, I know. And then when I seen that, this Boston Celtics
yeah. And the Bruins, yeah.
I was like, fuck off. And everyone's like, Molly, you know you're Irish. I think you should come out with your Irish flag and just like get and all this, that and the other. And I was like, look,
I'm Irish heritage. I fucking love Ireland, but I can't be like, I'm going to swerve England just because I'm going to fight somewhere that's Irish based. And everyone's like, no, but the crowd's get you behind you. I said, the second I land one punch, they'll be fucking behind me. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I don't have to just swerve allegiance. Everyone knows how much I love Ireland and how much I love the fact my heritage is Irish.
Yeah.
But I'm not fucking turncoat in my own country. I get enough of that as it is anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Scouser. People go, oh, well, you're English. You just say that you're a Scouser and you're on English. It's like you can never please the masses. But I'm staying to what's true, and I'm English at the end of the day. My family's Irish.
Absolutely, yes, and we are happy to have you as one of our own, of course. But this fight could lead you into a situation where you're on a 3-fight win streak, and that's huge in this division, right? Are you aware of that? Like, I mean, you're getting close. Like, just that trajectory, though, that kind of consecutive winning, that does a lot in this division, right? Are you aware of that going into this fight?
So, Old Molly, before the loss, would have absolutely et it up. Absolutely fed me ego and fed me to be like, yeah, I'm going to fucking get it by this time. Mm. And you know what? As I've gained more experience at the higher level, I am just enjoying every fight camp as it comes. I am getting life lessons from everything that I'm going through. And when it's going to come, it's going to come. And I'm not going to force it and I'm not going to push it. Because, you know, I turned down a fight. I got a short notice fight a week before I was going to Greece, and it's the only fight really I've ever turned down, and I just went, I cannot miss this wedding, and it was it was for China August 31st, and I just thought, I'm not rushing it now. I'm only doing what feels right, do you know what I mean? And then they come back with the Boston fight, and I just thought, in my eyes, I was tested with the first fight when I lost, and it tested everything about me, like my strength of character, my resilience, my mental fortitude. And then the UFC London fight was more willingness to win and proving, like, you're gonna have to put me asleep ever to beat me. And then that last fight just proved I'm not a fighter. Now this is the one. This is the fight that I've got. I feel no pressure. I know how good I am now. I know that I'm meant to be there. And I know I'm going to fucking finish it. Like I will out and out say my game plan is to finish this girl in the first round. And I'm not going to force it by saying by punches, by this, by that, by the other. How it's going to come. I'm just going to apply that much pressure. She's just not going to be able to fucking deal with it. And then what comes from that will come from that. But I'm not going to start forcing. Mm. And it's very exciting. It's very exciting. But I've seen how quick this game changes and it can spin on its head. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just enjoying the moment and every fight, and I just want to keep fighting all over the world. I'm meeting new people. Like every time you go to UFC events, you meet a fighter who ends up being your new best mate. I've been on 3 cards with Eric Spicely now, and I'm just absolutely loving it.
Is he your new bestie?
Yeah, so me and him, we was at Liverpool, Greenville, and now we've got Boston. I was like, how boss is that? Gillian Robertson, the girl who beat me, is on the same card, and we've been like liaising, like, oh, I can't wait to see you. Do you know, like, I said to her, I want you to batter this Macy Barber and then let me get in after you, because I just, I'm like, is that what I was like before I got beat? Is that, because I don't think it was, but I was just so positive and I knew what I wanted. And this is what this girl wants. But she's fucking doing my head and go.
You, Macy Barber, is she just too much for you? Like, as in too kind of prone towards kind of greatness and stuff like that? I don't think you were ever like that. I don't think you ever touched on, like, you know, insulting your opponents or anything. You were just confident, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I never tried to be disrespectful. I just feel like she can have, like, that... without offending anyone, but you know the Americans and how they have to win everything to do in sport, and they're the best at everything. Like, I get that from when I used to play football. The soccer players were like that a lot, and I kind of get that in here. And I messaged Gillian Robertson. I said, you're the fucking humble of you, girl. I said, and you're good at going into people's hometown and putting them out. So can you just go and shut her up, please?
Is that a fight you would like in the future, or are you just kind of having fun with Gillian?
Yeah, like I'm happy for Gillian. I'd like to win this one and not look beyond it.
Yes.
But after this, I'd like a top 15 or a top 10. I believe I'm wavy, and I don't know how Macy Barber's like top 10 in the world when she's had one win in our weight division. Right. I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? So she's, yeah.
I was going to ask you, right, because I find it like, I mean, so many people are, and I'm not trying to ask you to call out Valentina or anything like this, but the idea that Valentina is on this pedestal that the rest of the division can't touch, you know, this has become a narrative. Every time she fights, everyone's like, you know, nobody in the flyweight division is going to be able to challenge her. And I'm like, I can't imagine that sits well with Molly McCann, you know, not that you're putting your finger in her chest or anything, but...
No, so I think if it came down to me and A, it's like... I know how good Joanna Jędrzejczyk is, and she got like done, right? She got done, but I feel like I'm a bit stronger, I'm smaller and more compact. She won't take me down, and it'll be a stand up fight most definitely. But she hasn't fought anyone with footwork like me, she can kick me in the head and try and knock me out. I'll hit the floor and bounce straight back up and come again. Like, there'll be no quit. And I just think it would be an unreal fight. But as I'm ascending, I feel like by the time I get to her, she might be on the descent a little bit. I just can't see the UFC rushing me or just throwing me in. Mm. Because like I'm four fights deep and I'm still not fighting top 15. So I don't know what their plan is. I don't know.
Does it sell the division short though when they're kind of saying like this? She's invincible essentially. You know what I mean? Like, do you think she deserves it?
Look, she's an unreal mixed martial artist, but it's always going to be propaganda at the end of the day. What I learned in my last fight against Ariane Lipski was, the internet said all this and all that about me. Like, I'd be out to meet death. Like, I only just scraped it against Cachoeira, and I just went in and exceeded anyone's expectations.
It's unbelievable.
And I stuck to a game plan, and I was 5 inches off her reaching hands, and I was 4 inches off her reach in height. So I should never have been able to get in on this girl, and I still did. Do you know what I mean? So I'm always going to give the best, the ultimate best that I can give, and the best version of myself that I can. And Scousers don't turn down fights or aren't put off. We think that we're the best in the world and we can beat anyone. And why not? I'm not in this just to have a go. We'll just make top 5. I'm in this to make history. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I've got to ask you about Leah McCourt, because I know, as you said, when you're over here training in Ireland, you spend a lot of time with Leah. I've asked Leah about this friendship you guys have. I love it. Wanted to know about, you know, what do you think of Leah as a fighter? Like, how far can she go? Because she's still very early on in her career, of course.
I said to her, after you win this, you start throwing title shots out there. Like, you start asking for title eliminators. I've never met someone in my life, another female who has work ethic like myself. And I think Leah can sometimes surpass mine.
Wow.
She's just someone that I look up to so much. And we're selfless for each other. Like, if it's my camp, she'll pay to come over for me. If it's her camp, I'll pay to go for her. Like, when I go over, I stay in her daughter's bed and her daughter like stays in with her, and I have a little group called Irish Gratitude, and it's got Ryan Curtis's girlfriend Emma in it.
I hope Ryan isn't in it.
It's got our mate Una here and me, and it's just all about being positive, and we all have the same outlook on life. We all want the best for each other, and there's no, there really is, like, if she got a world title and I never did, I'd be more happy for her than I would be for myself.
Yeah.
And she will change Bellator featherweight division when she believes in herself. She has, when she's on it, I mean, she's world level. And she didn't win the IMAFs and all that for nothing, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think her last fight, I'm not even sure if she publicised what she went through, but she literally, her body went through a lot, and she was broken for that fight, and to fight in Dublin with the atmosphere like what it was, was just like she'd never, ever experienced. But now she knows her worth, and now she is aware of how good she is. I'm like, Leah, think, I didn't start becoming this person that I am now until I was like 8, 9 pro fights deep. You're 3 deep. So just imagine, like, I'm looking up to you now and you're only 3 fights deep in your career. Do you know what I mean? So I'm literally going over fight week 4. It will help her cut weight, corner her, I think, and then shoot home the next day. I've Cage Warriors Liverpool, and then she'll be coming over to my fight. It's just,
That's brilliant.
It's, you know, it reminds me of like Ronda Rousey when she had her 4 horsewomen and the bond that they are.
Yes.
When women are kind of like shunned a little bit, or not always welcomed, which is very rare, but we've had the same kind of upbringing where we've had to fight over adversity to get to where we are. And I'm not trying to be some big like feminist. And
no,
like,
no, you're completely correct. But,
yeah, but it's just like that's joined us together, really.
Do you work with Owen when you're out there? I know, of course, your next generation, yeah, Paul Rimmer, all this stuff. But do you work with Owen when you're over there? And what's that like? Is it just something different, basically, to keep the mind guessing kind of idea, is it?
I'm a firm believer of, I've always travelled and trained, and I've always known where my home is, and I've never got them too misconstrued. I'll never leave next gen. But Paul Rimmer is really happy with us going and getting learning and new training partners. You've got Jay Harris and Ryan Curtis.
Very good fighters.
And Leah there for me to train with. And then Owen's brain. I've just, we work exactly the same. But his combinations and the way he coaches is exactly the way that man thinks and the way that I coach or the way that I train. So it's really nice. Every 2 months, every 3 months, just to go over for a week and just mix it up.
Is it? Do you feel like it's helped your striking? Because you're already such an established boxer, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I was kind of thinking.
So,
like, does it...
So what I try and do is I try and take away a bit of a coach's philosophy or what they're really good at, put it in my game, see if that works. And Owen's really good at basic footwork and drawing stuff on and countering. So I've actually... Every warm-up he does is very similar, and I've started doing the exact same when I'm back home.
Amazing, amazing. Final one, Molly. Paddy the Baddy is back in action at Polaris against Stevie Ray. Has he been in the gym? Have you seen him? How's he looking? Of course, everybody in Europe are big fans of the Baddy, of course.
Yeah, so I've actually just been with him today, and I'm just going to be going up the stairs and... No, so I might get a bit muffled because I've got my lefty suitor. I just walked in today. I said, fucking hell, lads, you're looking lean, aren't you? Because we keep missing each other because I don't go in on days that he's in sometimes and vice versa. Yeah. And he's just starting to get that little spark back again because he's competing, he's been cutting his weight, he hasn't stopped training. And I just really can't wait for him just to be able to get out there, silence a few knobheads, get that good endorphins again, and prove to the world like how fucking good he is. Like we forget everything that he did when he was like 22.
He's only 24, like it's so young. Yeah, so
he's had a couple of years to like, he's had about 3 operations, and he's his knuckles like nearly ready back for sparring now. So his wrist. So he's on his way. He's on his way. We're all on our way. Next Gen's really good at the minute.
Brilliant. So. Molly, thank you so much for giving us so much time. Always one of the stars of this show, it has to be said. The fans love when you're on. So thank you so much, and we'll all be in your corner on October 18th.
No problem. Thanks very much, and I'll catch you later. Cheers.
More pictures of the dog, yeah?
Frank Mac the Frenchie, get on the Instagram.
Thanks so much, Molly. All the best. Bye bye.
No problem, lad. See you later, love. Bye.
Always a pleasure to speak to Molly McCann.
Oh, she's gas.
She is. She's a legend, isn't she? Never get tired of speaking to Molly. And she's one of ours, as we discussed on the podcast.
Yeah, we're also Irish
her. Yeah, yeah. She's related to our own Katie Taylor, would you believe?
Yeah. I remember hearing about that, yeah. What's the cousins or something?
I think
or?
It's, yeah, second cousins or something like that. Okay. They share an uncle or something like that. I can't remember.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. And the stuff at Liam McCourt was really interesting as well. I enjoyed that interview. It was very good.
Thanks very much, Niall.
Leah was just the work rate I thought was fascinating. Like, yeah. If Leah's out working Molly McCann, she's going to go.
It's a terrifying prospect.
That scares me. That does. But in fairness to Leah, like you know, we see her on her Twitter and her Instagram. She's
mainstream
of
court.
She's never off out of the gym. Like in fairness,
and she's either just traveling to train or training. that's pretty much it. Yeah,
it's mental.
Yeah. Let's have a look at this UFC Shenzhen card.
It's a thin card, Peter.
Sorry?
It's a thin card, to say the least.
It's not stacked. It's definitely not stacked. At the top there, we have Zhang Weili. I'm not too sure. I always get that wrong.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Who
I think is a ferocious contender there. This is a big deal, right? Because the UFC have just opened the Performance Center in China. What would it mean to the UFC to have a Chinese champion here? Like, because I mean, this took a lot of people by surprise, right? Like when this fight was announced.
Well, I think that's the tactic here. You know, I think they really do believe that the challenger here, Zhang Weili. I'm not sure what way they put the name. It doesn't matter. Okay, right. Shit. I'm just talking shite now.
That's a good 15 seconds.
But I think. The UFC generally think she's in with a shot here. And I do as well. And I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. Look at the people she's beaten. Like, she's just smashed it in their last two fights with Jessica Aguilar, Tisha Torres. You know, very, very high-level opponents. So it's no walk in the park for Jessica Andrade. Anyone thinks it is, they're sorely mistaken. So
yeah, what she did to Aguilar on the ground was pretty stunning. Like, I mean, to submit someone from your guard as experienced as Aguilar is pretty incredible. Yeah. And I believe that it's nearly helping her going into this, because usually when it's a title fight and you're at home, the pressure is huge. Whereas Jessica's a far more prominent fighter internationally.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's not putting the same pressure on Zhang the way it usually would, say, as a hometown title challenge. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's a very dodgy fight for Andrade. Like,
definitely.
I mean, Jessica's a savage, don't get me wrong, but I really feel like Zhang has a skill set that can beat Jessica.
She's a toughness about her as well. She's gritty, she's grindy, she's
very
determined.
Methodical in there as well. Like, she has a definite game plan, as does Andrade, to be fair. Like, she just marches you down and starts swinging hammers at you, which I love to watch. But I do feel as though people will be underestimating Zhang ahead of this, big time.
Yeah, I think everyone is, and I'm very interested in the way this pans out, and I think, you know, even in terms of the UFC, what they've done and why they've put this match together in China is because I think they even know, the matchmaker Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard know, that this lady can really cause an upset here. And I would not be surprised if we did a Chinese champion come Sunday morning. I really wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't be either.
I'm not sure I'd be betting on this fight. Just say it that way. I don't normally bet on the fights. But generally, I'm sitting on the fence here with this one, PT. I don't know what way it's going to go.
Yeah, Zaliski dos Santos takes on Zhilang Li Jinglang. I'm not too sure which way it goes. But in the co-main event, the Leech, one of our faves, a big fan. But you know what? Zaliski dos Santos doesn't get the credit he deserves, man. He's on a 7-fight win streak. We're shouting from the rooftops about Leon Edwards. I mean, this guy is getting the Leech in China.
That's a rough draw, but as you said there, you know, lost his UFC debut to Nicholas Dalby and hasn't looked back since. Yeah. And taken out some big names as well. And you know, the likes of Lyman Good, former Bellator champ, and Sean Strickland, very gritty opponent, and Curtis Millender, Omari Akhmedov. And that's they're no
it's
fucking...
good laundry list, isn't it?
They're no pushovers. And you know, it is a good fight. And
I think the top two fights are just so much better than most of the card. Like, let's talk about Kara France. He's one of
lovely,
your favourite fighters.
Fighter. Love to watch him.
He's fighting De La Rosa. That's going to be a good fight.
At flyweight?
Yeah. But
it's interesting. Like, what are they doing with this flyweight stuff?
Like? Don't even think about it anymore.
Like, Joe Benavidez is online for his 15th flyweight title shot. It's fucking mad. Like, what are they doing? Release half the roster and then, let's just get it back again. Yeah, lads, doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
But Kai Kara France is a really fun fighter to watch. Always involved in good fights. And yeah, that is a good fight as well, in fairness. Mark De La Rosa as well, you know, coming off a loss to Alex Perez, but, you know, a tough, tough dude as well. So interesting. But bar that, now,
there's a couple of former M1 Challenge champions fighting on here, both undefeated. Mosvar Ivloviev takes on Zhen Hong Lu. And who is it? Is it Ibrahimov takes on Daun Jung. So, I mean, that's interesting enough. Also, one of Peter Yan's stablemates, Damir Ismagulov, takes on Thiago Moises. So that's a decent fight. Like, it's just, it's lacking the drawing power for me. I just don't see my mates going to me, here, man, where are you watching the UFC Shenzhen card this weekend? I don't imagine that's going to happen.
No, I totally agree.
It's me and Guilherme on this buzz this weekend.
To be honest, yeah, I'm probably going to record it. I'm not going to lie.
How dare you?
I don't think I'll be staying up to watch this.
Dare you?
Listen, we have to be more selective these days. That's my excuse. On listen, top of it, love it. Great fight.
Top three of them.
But, you know, it doesn't. And the UFC have done a shit job in promoting this as well. On this,
well,
side
I don't know. Are you in China?
No. Well, here. I'm talking about, you know, for an American, well, not an American, but, you know, for a general audience, I suppose, in the United States, I don't think there's a lot of people very interested. It is thin. It is thin. Let's not lie. We don't
it
lie.
Is.
We tell it how it is, Pete.
For our grappling nerds, our friends, Polaris 11 is on Saturday as well in Manchester. And it does have some MMA fighters of note on there. And my good friend, Munchie Kara, is fighting Wagner Rocha, which is very, very good. Munchie would have been known for being Dylan Danis' close training partner during the Marcelo Garcia days. They are training elsewhere now. But Chris Fishgold, former Cage Warriors champion, is taking on Mark Diakese.
Who's a fight booked.
Former Bama champion in a 170 grappling bout. Also, Paddy Pimblett will be taking on Stevie Ray.
Who also is a fight booked.
So that's going to be an interesting one.
That's crazy, man. That's a big risk. The UFC, what's the story with that? Like, is there no thing in their contract saying, like, they could easily go in there and, you know, pull a...
Oh, yeah.
Pull in...
Sure, we saw with Brett Johns. Like we saw with Brett Johns when Redzer competed there around the time of that Cardiff, Cage Warriors card. It was late. I think it was about December. He done his knee against Tom Halpin, an Irish guy. He lives around here on Southside. But
Southside.
No, he's from the country. He just trains here. But also, just of Irish note there, Kieran Davern, an MMA veteran from Ireland, a great grappler, a really great grappler. My friend Colly, who's a really good grappler as well, he's from the Royal Grappling Academy. He was saying to me, he goes, the most I've ever been battered in my life is when Kieran Davern showed up on the mats. He said I was completely helpless for the duration of the round. So hope you enjoyed that shout out, colleague. I'm shining a big light on you there, son. But yeah, decent card. I will be tuning into that. I'm looking forward to seeing Paddy as well, because it's been a long time. He's had the hand injury. Yeah. I think it's his wrist or his... He's had a lot.
It was his knuckle, I think, and his wrist and stuff like that. So he did a few of them.
Lad was fighting. His body was being sellotaped together before he was fighting.
I just find it a bit bizarre. Like, you know, Mark's obviously, G. Casey's obviously fighting, you know, Lando Venata. And Stevie's fighting.
Michael Johnson.
That was announced today in Copenhagen, I think it is.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's Singapore, sorry. Yeah. So at least I redeemed myself. But I just think it's stupid unless they're getting, you know, good books for it,
because we've seen it happen.
I do agree, and I think, you know, maybe the UFC need to do something better.
If you could see Niall's face now, it's incredibly skeptical about the whole Polaris thing. But
it's not that. I just, you know, I've more of a vested interest in seeing good mixed martial arts fights than jiu-jitsu competitions.
Speaking of grapplers,
okay,
let's go on to our third guest of the evening.
You see here, he's pointing at me when he's saying shit, and he's going, fucking grapplers and all this fucking shite.
Let's talk to the Olympian, the latest European that has signed for the UFC. It's Mark O'Madsen, Greco-Roman wrestling legend. Let's have a word with him. We spoke to him. He's over in Vegas at the moment, so we'll see in about 10 minutes. And now, as promised, we are joined by the Olympian himself, the latest European fighter to sign for the UFC, a wrestling legend, Mr. Mark O'Madsen, who joins us from Las Vegas today. Mark, how are you, and why are you in Sin City of all places?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. Very happy to be signed by the UFC. And I'm here in Vegas, you know. I'm here preparing for my upcoming fights. I'll have my UFC debut in 28th of September in Copenhagen.
Yes.
And I'm here in Vegas doing a camp with, you know, my manager, Ali, Dominance MMA, and my coach, Martin Kampmann. He's here for 2 weeks. So just here preparing, getting ready.
So, I mean, the reaction to you being signed, Mark, it was huge. I've watched you come up through the Cage Warriors ranks, but this seems to mean an awful lot to the people of Denmark and the people of Copenhagen to have you on this first card in Denmark. I mean, have you been blown away by the reaction to the announcement of your signing?
Well, I have to be honest and say yes, it has been an amazing reaction from... And I've gotten a lot of support, and yeah, it's amazing. And I'm just so happy to be a part of UFC Copenhagen.
Yeah, and I mean, I was looking at your career. Obviously, you are a decorated Olympian. You went to the 2012 Olympics. You went to the 2016 Olympics, taking bronze and silver, respectfully. But you were competing in MMA while you were competing in wrestling. This is crazy for an Olympian, a person who is dedicating their whole life to one sport. You were also competing in MMA. Am I correct in thinking this?
Yes, I did. I did compete in MMA back in 2013 and 14. Yes. However, I was signed with the National Wrestling Federation, and I was not allowed to do any MMA preparation whatsoever, actually. And I think I was locked down for 6 months, a year. So I had very little time to do MMA back in 2013 and 14. So actually, in my calculating, I retired 18 months ago and decided to move into MMA with, you know, 100% focus. So it has really been a really, really short time in the sport of MMA, and I'm, you know, very happy to be signed by the UFC in such a short time.
That's amazing. So, I mean, you could, as you were building this undefeated record, you couldn't even give your full time to the sport. That's crazy. That's insane that you could do that. So, I mean, you must feel as though you are taking huge leaps in development now that you can just focus, as you say, for the last 18 months on MMA by itself.
I have to take huge leaps. I just joined the, you know, the world's toughest MMA league in the world, and you know, I'll be facing some of the best MMA fighters out there. So I have to take enormous leaps in my development as a mixed martial artist, and that's actually why I'm here in Vegas, you know, to compete with, train with the best in the world. Have my coach, Martin Kampmann, flew over, you know, work with the guys at Extreme Couture, really to do this 100%.
I'll tell you one reason I'm very excited for you to be involved in the UFC. For many, many years, the Americans have said, oh, Europeans can't wrestle. And now we have a guy coming in with a bronze medal and a silver medal in the Olympics and many medals in the World Championships. You can show all these Americans that the Europeans are, in fact, very good at wrestling, right?
Well, the Americans are great at wrestling, especially freestyle.
Right.
And they've also had some amazing Greco guys. I do believe I might be the most decorated Greco-Roman wrestler ever to be signed by the UFC. Wow. When you take a look at my wrestling credentials. But that, I mean, that's one thing. That's looking back, in a very long, impressive Greco-Roman wrestling career. Now I'm in the MMA, and I can only aspire to accomplish the things that some of my colleagues, Randy Couture, Dan Henderson, Matt Lindland, have accomplished in MMA, because they have... You know, they have done really, really well in the sports, and I consider them to be true American heroes and legends of the sport.
Who do you feel as though, when you at all across all different kinds of wrestling styles, who do you believe is the best wrestler in the UFC? You've got to be right up there, okay? I know Henry Cejudo is obviously a gold medalist. I know a lot of people say a lot of good things about Ben Askren, who competed in the Olympics, and Daniel Cormier, who was a very decorated career too. Who do you think is the best wrestler in the UFC? Because you would know far more than me.
Well, I honestly don't know. I think it's important to view freestyle and Greco-Roman as two different aspects of wrestling. What I can tell you is there are a lot of awesome wrestlers signed by the UFC. You just mentioned a lot of them, and they, you know, they are some of the best in the world. I mean, Henry Cejudo, Olympic champion. You have Cormier, you have Ben Askren. You know, UFC is just stacked with amazing wrestlers.
I know that the Danish people are very proud, and you know, you went over, and I'm sure it was an amazing experience in 2012 and 2016 in Rio when you came home with a medal. I'm sure it was one of the most amazing feelings you've ever had in your life. But you know, as you say, you're now in MMA, and this Copenhagen card feels special. It feels like something big for the people of Denmark. Do you think this will compare at all in terms of your Olympic journey, or do you think, you know, you will have bigger nights in terms of MMA, or is this as big as I feel it is? Because it certainly feels like when I talk to you, when I talk to Nicholas Dalby, that this is a hugely proud moment for you guys to go out and represent your country at the first event in Copenhagen.
Yeah, well, listen, UFC in Copenhagen, it's not only an MMA event, it's an historic MMA event. It's the first time UFC is ever coming, you know, have ever been in Denmark. So it will be an historic event. And honestly, I'm just so proud, so happy, grateful to be able to take part of, you know, being a part of this event. I believe it'll be an amazing night.
I can remember the first time the UFC came to my country in Ireland. It changed how people saw the sport, because before it came here, a lot of people thought it was a blood sport. They didn't think it was real sport. But after the UFC came, a lot more people begin to realize that, you know, MMA is a real sport. Do you think that's going to help in Denmark? Does Denmark still have some issues with MMA as a sport? Or do you think a lot of people believe it is a sport now?
When the UFC is coming to town, we are, as of now, we are hitting mainstream media. It's not only on ground. We are actually hitting mainstream media. Me signing with the UFC, we've gotten attention from all the major, you know, newspapers, online medias. So I think it's, you know, it's a very, very interesting development going on right now in Danish MMA. And this is the pinnacle, you know, this is the biggest thing that has ever happened in Denmark. When you have like an event at this level coming to Denmark. So it is truly, it's unique, and it will be an amazing night.
Does it feel like you and Dalby are Team Denmark that night? Does it feel like you guys are putting on the famous red Danish jersey? Because that's what it seems like to me when I talk to you guys.
Well, I think when you sign, you're representing your family, your coaches, your club, and your country. So this definitely feels like something bigger. It's an opportunity for me. It's an opportunity for Dalby to, you know, step into that octagon and represent not only ourselves but our entire country. So it's massive, and it's I'm very excited, to say the least.
Do you know much about your opponent? I know that he has competed in the UFC, Danilo Belluardo. Have you done much homework? Do you like to study your opponent? What have you found out about this guy?
I'll be outworking myself. I have been outworking myself for the last, you know, months, and I will definitely work like never before to be ready. And honestly, it's not about who I'm facing. It's about performing at my best. And as we talked about before, I have to take enormous leaps. I have to acquire a lot of technique, a lot of tactic. I have, you know, increased my fight IQ. So there's a huge task ahead, and I really, really need to step it 100% and just give it my max. And, you know, September 28th, I'll be ready.
Does the wrestling community, do they support you here, or is it somewhat controversial that you have decided to go from wrestling to MMA? How do they feel about that, the wrestling community in Denmark?
I have been the number one guy in Denmark, and you know, I've been the guy who's made it possible to do wrestling in Denmark on elite level. So it was a loss for you know, Wrestling Denmark, but I've gotten a lot of support, a lot of warmth, and you know what's really crazy is after the news of me signing with the UFC, I see myself on, you know, all the bigger online medias like Wrestling Russia, Wrestling India. So I feel like the entire wrestling community is actually backing up and supporting me in this new endeavor.
That's amazing. When I think of Denmark, of course I think of you, I think of Dalby. I also think of Mads Burnell and other guys that a lot of people want to see added to this card. Do you believe that this will open up the doors for even more Danish fighters to join the UFC? Is that your hope?
Well, I believe as the attention increases, it will open up for other fighters to do well. And maybe take this chance of actually being able to support themselves by doing MMA. So naturally, whenever something like this happens and whenever we get a lot more attention and the whole community grow, not only as, you know, a single club, but a community in Denmark grows, I believe it will open up a lot more opportunities for all fighters, not only the top five.
Amazing. Mark, thank you so much for this, man. It's amazing to see your journey and to find out that you've only been able to dedicate really full time the last 18 months to the sport, and to see what you've done in Cage Warriors already, and to come to this huge moment now with your UFC debut. It's going to be fantastic to watch, and thank you again for all of your time. A lot of people have been really excited to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Peter.
All the best, sir. I will see you in Copenhagen, hopefully. The return of the three-guest lineup is completed with Mark O. Madsen.
Yeah, don't get used to it.
Yeah. There's
a lot on this week. There's a lot on this week.
A lot of typing for Peter tomorrow morning.
A lot of news, yeah.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. How are you feeling, first of all, darling? United got trashed the weekend there. How do you feel about that?
I was annoyed. It was a tough one. Tough one to take, because I think they played actually quite well. But as I said, you know, they didn't sign a midfielder, something they badly needed in this window. And you could totally see, you know, lack of creativity big time in midfield.
I didn't watch it. But from one disaster to another, I noted your silence on Twitter on Sunday as Ireland were being ravaged by England.
I turned it off. I did. Honestly, I thought it was pathetic. It was bad. You know, like, we haven't been beaten. The only team to beat us, this is the start here for you now. The only team to beat us by more points ever was New Zealand, or is New Zealand. So that is not
a good
look.
Rugby, yeah?
They're crap. I beat them. No, they're very good. But it was just embarrassing. There was no ideas. I think we're very, very predictable. And
we're going to be shy at the World Cup.
It's typical Ireland. Play so well outside the World Cup years. Go into a World Cup.
Shit the bed.
Listen, I'm a little bit worried that we won't get out of the group, because Japan are a very, very good side. They've been preparing for this World Cup. And listen, they might target that game against us. I'm worried.
They brought me over for a seminar there earlier in the year just to show them how to rook.
Oh, that's why you were there. I forgot about that.
Rooking is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can tap people out now on the ground when you're there.
But,
leg locks and
yeah,
shit.
I thought it was an absolute shit show. I tried to watch that rugby match, and me and Elaine, who don't know a lot about rugby, all we took away from it is Ireland are not very good at rugby.
Interesting point. A lot of the Leinster lads in pre-season, they actually brought them up to Chris Bow. They worked with Chris Bow before, who's Gracie Barr at Dublin. Yeah.
He's a savage, man.
There is the links there, obviously, between Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and...
The main link being I'd beat the shit out of all of them.
It's the grips and the locks and you know, when you're tackling. I think they interlink.
Seemed to work well for them there on Sunday.
Fucking hell. They won't be doing that anymore, right? But,
is your man Haskell good at rugby, though?
Listen, the guy had 77 caps for England.
Is that not common, though?
No, that's like a lot of caps, man.
Rugby's treacherous game. Like, I mean, like, 77 is a lot of, like, a lot.
That
of
is experience. A lot, you know, a lot of physicality, a lot of brute bloody force hitting
your
body.
Is that not an issue, though? Like, I mean, in terms of, like, I mean, something that's talked about a lot in rugby is the concussions and stuff like
that. And I tell you, I watched something really interesting on concussion last night. It was actually on Netflix. I'm sure a lot of our American listeners have seen this. It's called The Enforcers in the NHL.
Oh, you started watching that the
I
other
watched
night.
It last night, and it was actually really interesting. You learn a lot from I got about 10, 12 concussions when I was playing rugby.
Fucking
I was younger a
hell,
lot
man.
Like, and it's just the little things, you know, even like it's whiplash effect. It's actually not how the actual impact on your head. They were saying a low percentage of the concussions were coming from the fights. It was actually the hits up against the boards and your neck whipping around. It's your brain hitting off your skull. So that was really interesting. It was 5% actually, which was crazy, from the fights, the enforcers hitting each other. The only 5% were concussions. The 95% were actually on the ice around the place. So, yeah, I think, you know, rugby's a terrible game for the concussions. You know, you get tackled, especially in the back row, as you said, with James Haskell. James plays at the back of the scrum. So he would have played, you know, 6, 7, and 8, as far as I'm aware, during his career. And there's a lot of tackling there, you know, a lot of impact on your body. It's one of the most physically sort of dominating positions in terms of running with the ball and getting tackled with it straight into guys. So yeah, listen, there's no way
he'd be fighting if he thought there was something. Yeah. Like his brain would be monitored, right, in that sport. Like,
well, so they tell us. Yeah, I'm sure that the guys do a good enough job there to know how their players' brains are in pre-season.
Like, he seems sharp.
He is. You know, he is. He's a sharp guy. Sky have him on as a pundit a lot of the time. So
Richard and Judy's son. I mean, goes out with their daughter.
That's right, yeah. So you might have seen him, he was on Loose Women, and he's been on all these mad sort of daytime programs talking rugby and stuff. No, very articulate guy. He's worked for BT Sport as well in the past with the UFC coverage. He went out to gyms. He did a little bit of training. He's been, I think, boxing for 5, 6 years, and he's been doing jiu-jitsu for 6 or 7 years. So I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, man, to be honest with you.
I hope he does. Yeah. I genuinely hope he does. Hopefully we'll get a word with James soon. I have reached out. It did not go well.
We'll get on to our boy Corbs. He can drop him a line.
Yeah, Corbs, man.
Corbs will come on.
Corbs got a buster rap for us about this debut. That would be the best thing that could
happen. If anyone's ever seen Corbs raps, you have to go
on. Alex Corbisero, the greatest rugby player who ever lived.
And he did a rap about Northampton when Northampton won the Premier League. It was very funny about Saracens.
Haskell played for Northampton, right?
He did, yeah. Only last year, though.
Oh, right. Okay,
So, like, he's only a year. You know,
he retired this year.
Yeah, he didn't play an awful lot of games last season, but he's, you know, the guy's going to be fit. I think he's going to be a big problem for whoever he's going to get his hands on. And listen, they will match him up.
A big problem for the guy who's never fought before
That's what I mean. They'll match him up with someone, you know, to his level. But his level could surprise
people. But if his level is 7 years of training, surely enough he should have a opponent with a bit of history.
Maybe he will.
Yeah. Carl Pendred.
Are they setting up a Jack Swagger fight down the line?
Carl Pendred. Let's get him in there.
Let's get the Punisher back.
Yeah, let's do it for Ireland, Carl. But I guess that's all we have for you this week. We've loaded you up with 3 interviews, so you should thank us for that, to be honest.
this is the real PT. That's what I get. You thank me.
It is me.
But yeah, no, it's been an interesting.
And I'm
week.
Also moving house at the moment. So it's a fucking nightmare. Yeah, so
That is head wrecking. I wish I was moving country, to be honest. Anyone wants to fucking give me a visa, sponsor me, hit us up at Niall McGrath for fucking, you know what I mean?
Right, let's just end this shit before we get ourselves in trouble.
I'll probably get bloody deported from my own country if that's possible.
Fingers crossed. Right, thanks very much for listening. We love yous. It's all about Abu Dhabi next weekend and that featherweight tournament, of course, on with Pedro Carvalho and Adam Boric representing the Europeans at the Bellator featherweight tournament, whatever.
Just one for you. Are you excited about Abu Dhabi? The fight card? Top two, three?
The top two fights are really good. Like, I mean, Khabib's a genuine superstar.
Yeah.
To go and watch him fight, which I have done before,
it is an honour, definitely.
And just to see how he's received in that part of the world, I'm really excited about it.
I can't wait to slate BT Sport next week.
Class. For the pay-per-view. You can tell me all about it.
We're going to be fucking talking about it.
I'll just FaceTime you. During the fight.
No, we'll be talking about the podcast next week.
All right, yeah. That's pay-per-view, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. All right, well, look, we'll love you. Mwah. Give them a kiss, Darren. See you later.